Grace to you and peace from God our Father, who created us, from Jesus Christ, who redeems us, and from the Holy Spirit, who comforts us. Amen. Well, last week we talked together about this question: is the Christian life hard or easy? And we saw last week that it's both. Let's just look at that again briefly here as we start. Matthew 11, Jesus says in verse 28 and following, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So is the Christian life easy? It's easy in that sense, right? That our yoke is easy, our burden is light, all of our sins, our backpack of sin is cast off of us. Christ bore it for us. We're forgiven. We're reconciled by God, by Christ, with God, by Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. We delight to walk in his ways now with thanksgiving. And God delights to give us the desires of our hearts. He delights in the welfare of his servants. So is the Christian life easy? In that sense, it is, because we're saved in Jesus Christ and loved. But also, the Christian life is hard. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Is the Christian life hard? Aye, very hard. Why? Number one, we're opposed to the devil. Number two, we are bucking against the currents of this world. Number three, we fight against our own sinful passions. And number four, we just plain are going to face troubles in this life. As it is written, Psalm 34 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many? The word is many. So if you're righteous, then you can expect to have many afflictions. Paul tells us in Acts, he says, it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom. So the Christian life is hard. And Christians are not immune to trouble. And we are not to doubt that God is with us just because we're facing it. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. Moses thirsted in the desert. David was hunted by Saul. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Peter, Paul, James, John, Jesus, our King himself, suffered greatly. So trouble does not disqualify you. In fact, that's one of the characteristics of the saints in the Christian life. So if you have trouble today, don't let it shock you. Don't think that God has cast you off on account of it. It's something we all go through as part of the Christian life. But today, what I'd like to talk with you about is this question: how does God especially help us through our struggles so that we endure them and come out on the other side saved, delivered, and free? What does he do to help us? And especially I'd like to share with you about that as a personal testimony of how God's been helping Beth and me and Naomi over the last 2 months with a lot of Beth's pain and struggles. What has God taught me? Well, let's take a look at that. How does God cause us to endure? You ready for that? Well, first, I have seen and I testify before you that God has sustained us by his word. That's how he sustains his saints. He gives us his word that we may endure by means of it. Right here. Remember when I told you how I was learning to water ski some years ago and I was trying to get up on a slalom ski, just one ski? I could double ski, but I couldn't one ski, at least getting up on one. And it was hard. Crash, crash, bang, boom. My dad had hit the throttle. There'd be sounds and springs of water, and I couldn't see anything, and I'd get pulled this way and that. And I tried and tried. I couldn't figure out how to get up. I'd try each time. Dad, maybe I'll this time lean to the left. Maybe I'll lean more forward this time. Maybe I'll lean more back this time. I tried everything I could. Couldn't get up. You know what I finally did to get up? I decided, I said, Greg, this next time I will have no thought for anything else. I don't care if I lean right, left, forward, back. One thought: hold on to that rope. And my dad hits the throttle, and I hear there's crashings and there's water, and my mouth is full, and I can't see. I can't perceive what's going on around me. My eyes are closed. I'm feeling this. I don't know what's going on. I just kept on thinking, that rope, that rope, that rope, hold on to it. And I just kept concentrating on that, and guess what happens? I got pulled through, and crashing, and banging, and noises, and violence, and finally, up, 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 and out of the water. Up, up, and away, right? Over a tall building in a single bound. I came up out of that water, and I glided across. Glorious. It was beautiful. Why do I share that with you? Because that's how it is with the Word. Sometimes in our lives, when we face trouble as Christians, there's a thrashing and a banging and a violence. Our eye perceives one thing, our ear another. Our senses can't make sense of what's going on around us, but we hold on to that Word. Just imagine this is the tow rope, and you're just holding on. I'm holding on, Father. I'm holding on. Hit the gas. And it pulls us up, through, 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 and up, up, and eventually out of the water till we glide across it. That's how God, saints have always endured. In all of their troubles, that's how Beth and I have been able to endure. First of all, by his word from the scriptures. That's the main thing I give to you. God also gave to Beth a word about her healing. You know that? A couple years ago when she was at the Christian conference and she was just praising God, wasn't looking for a word, and she heard, I am going to heal you. And she thought, that's strange. She's only two times in her life ever heard something like that. And then she said, well, in this life and the next, Lord, that's okay, I'm content. And then all weekend long as she's praising God, she just kept on hearing, in this life, in this life, in this life, I'm going to heal you. And she came home excited, didn't know what was going on. 3 days later, she was up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep, and she actually found out what her own problem was by looking up some things on the internet just by accident. When we've been to every doctor for 25 years, 3 days after she gets this word. Well, that led into difficulty, though. Two surgeries and then two more this last month. Pain, and actually pain indescribable. What has God given us to hold on to in the midst of that? He gave us that word. I remember when Beth was in these surgeries, 5-hour, like a craniotomy, and going in to repair her skull and build up her inner ear again, and going through so much intense pain, she said. I just kept on saying, God, your word can't fail. You said I'm going to heal her in this life. And no matter what I see, no matter what I perceive, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think is going on, your word will not fail. Right? That's how God has helped us to endure, holding fast that word. You know that God's given personal words like that in the scriptures at times to his saints who needed courage? Look, for example, at Paul. When they made a threat on his life and the Jews were going to ambush and murder him, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you've tested about me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. What did God do? He gave a personal word to him so that he might be able to be encouraged and to hold it fast. And also in Athens, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but speak and don't be silent, for I'm with you. No man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Do you know that it says in Isaiah, God says, my word, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and the prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so, as we've been going through pain, and Beth was getting worse and worse and worse, and the doctors didn't know why and why and why, and she said she felt like she's approaching death and death and death even, I kept on saying, but your word, God. Not first and foremost, always, the word in the scripture, but also, I'm going to heal you in this life. It cannot but fail. And I told someone, I have more confidence that my wife is going to get better and healed from this, that I, being healthy, am going to be healthy. Because she has that word, and God's word will not return to him void. And so that's been a sustaining thing for us. But do you have a personal word today from God? I'll tell you what your personal word is, maybe a personal revelation. But it is the word of God. You know, this word, this book God's given us is the inerrant, infallible scriptures. They cannot err. It's an impossible to mislead. Has God given you personal words in here that you can lay hold of like onto a rope? Listen to this. Psalm 34. The Lord, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Can you hear that to yourselves today? Do you have a struggle or a trouble you're facing right now? Can you hear God himself say that to you? The Lord delivers them out of all their troubles. He hears when you cry to him. Can you hear that? Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Is that a personal word like you can hold on to when you're going through? And I don't know, Lord, what's going on, but you have said, you have spoken, and so shall it be. Hold on to that rope, even when all your sights and perceptions seem to the contrary. Hold on to it. What's David say in Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Is this just a word from ancient times to David? What do you think? This is the inerrant, infallible word of God, a personal word to you. And there are many more, thousands in here. You lay hold on them, and they will sustain you just like I was sustained in that water skiing with my dad, a thrashing and a crashing and a banging, but up, up, up and away and through the troubles. God lifted me out of them. God will lift you. And if God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that you, believing in him, should not perish eternally but have eternal life, guess what? If he cares about your eternity, do you think he cares about your present little troubles that you're facing in this world? You better believe it. He cares about those as well. So trust him for it. One more. Psalm 91 says, when you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Will you hold on to that? Say amen. Amen. Hold on to those like as to a rope. It'll save you. God's word cannot lie. Take delight in the Lord, and I'll make you ride upon the heights of the earth, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So that's number one. Another thing that I've seen, personal testimony to you today. God has sustained us, not only through his word, as if that were not enough. It is enough. But as if that were not enough, God is so loving to you that he sustains you another way. You know what it is? Through each other. Through friends. You know what it says in Proverbs? Listen to how precious a friend is in God's sight. It says, there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Does God sustain us that way? God has sustained me by you guys. God has sustained us by our friends. Let me give you a personal example of that, if I could. Kind of funny. I flew up to Boston the second time in between the two surgeries when Beth was having more complications for her second surgery. I flew up. And I went up there, kind of an emergency. Got up there about 10:30 at night, traveling alone. And I got to tell you, my 43, 44-year-old body, all of a sudden I felt like I was 19 again. Because I just had my backpack that I went through Europe with by myself. I got there at 10 o'clock at night, took the Silver Line over to South Station, and then I decided, I'll just walk across Boston. I'll traverse it at night by myself, by memory, just see if I can do it. Be my happy wanderer, my wandering warrior self that I used to be. I loved that. Put that on there. Trekked across Boston in the night. I was having a great time. Got over to the hotel. I get in there, and Beth is there with her friend Jennifer, another pastor's wife. And I got a nice warm comfort, but I came in out of that dark adventure, and you know what I saw? Two women sitting there watching the U.S. beauty pageant. Total chick flick. I was like, unbelievable. I go from walking dark warrior to chick flick. And they were rooting for Miss Nevada, who I guess won. But you know what? As I sat there and watched the two of these women sitting on that bed together, watching this, really engaged in it, I thought, you know what? My wife Beth is receiving more medicine from her friend Jennifer, sitting here next to her, watching this, silly chick flick show. Maybe you like it, okay. But then she is, from all the doctors giving her all these prescriptions, she's got more medicine from her friend to sustain her. You know what friends are for? God gives them to us to change our heavy burdens into a light burden, to make a fearful experience into an adventurous and fun one. And that is exactly what I've seen there. Jennifer and I can't repair her skull like she needed. We could not change her inner ear like Dr. Lee can. We couldn't give her two spinal taps, which she needed. But we could be there better than gold. And that's, I want to tell you, no small thing. God sustained us, and he sustains you through friends, through each other. That's why we're to always be together, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, and not be off by ourselves. Listen to Paul. He says to Philemon, "I've derived much joy and comfort from you, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Refresh my heart in Christ. Do you get refreshed by your friends? David had Jonathan. He said, "Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of even women." Adam said to David, God said to Adam, "It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him." Say the word helper just so I know you're with me. Helper. Are you guys helpers to each other? Yes. You guys sustain me. I sustain you. That's God's grace. It's not just earthly. This is a divine working of God to endure, cause you to endure, and to turn your troubled life into a joy and a blessing, even in the trouble. Two by two, Jesus sent out the 70 to preach the gospel, not one by one, for the comfort of a friend is very precious in the Lord's sight. After Beth left the hospital one day, total ear pain, inner ear surgery rebuilding, we were walking back two blocks to the hotel, John Jeffries Hotel, and you know what? Every ambulance, fire truck, and police car seemed to go by us in that two blocks. And Beth was going, "Ah!" And it was like a bad Seinfeld episode to us. But Jennifer, Beth, and I just keeled over laughing, even though it was painful, because friends were just, we were there as friends, and we were just like, this is a ridiculous situation. And it turned it into a joy when it was actually really painful. That's what God does for you, to sustain you. And so let's not neglect each other. And I thank you, by the way, for being friends to me and to Beth and Naomi. Exactly. Yes. And then another thing I'd like to testify of is that God's Spirit is mighty to save. God sustains us by giving us the best friend of all. Jesus says in John 14, "I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, whom the world can't, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it neither sees me nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." What a friend we have in Jesus, right? What a friend we have in the Holy Spirit, too. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, to be sure. "For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." How about you and your trouble right now? You're sustained by the Word. You're sustained by your friends. Are you sustained by God's Spirit? Is he upholding you? Is he giving you joy even while you're going through pain, and he doesn't take the pain away, but he changes that so that you can endure it and causes you to be lifted up? People have said to me, "How can Beth possibly go through all of these indescribable sufferings of 10 plus 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 pain and yet remain looking like a little bird chirping on a branch, singing merrily to her God?" And that is how she's been, cheerful and grateful and happy, even while her body suffers. You know how? The Holy Spirit. How about in your struggle? How about in your trouble today? How about in your sickness? How about in your difficulty? Can the Spirit make you chirp like a bird on a branch? What do we chirp about? He points us to Jesus Christ, who has taken all of our troubles away, ultimately, in our salvation. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," Romans 8. Ephesians 1 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Colossians 1, "In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Can you take joy in that and say, "I have joy"?
I have joy.
That's salvation. But also in the joys of this life, he causes us to see. Beth went to the ER. She had a pain, she said again. Head, neck, back. Each step was like an electric jolt through her. She's walking along with Jennifer. I wasn't there. And Beth is like hobbling along. And a sparrow suddenly flits in front of her. She goes, "Oh, look at the sparrow." And then they go a little further. And she's like, "Oh, the hydrangeas, aren't they beautiful, Jennifer?" And Jennifer goes, "You are nuts. How can you possibly be taking joy in these things when your every step is a jolt of electricity through you?" And it was a jolt of electricity, but it's the Holy Spirit through prayer causing her to see the joys in life all around her. Can you see joys around you even in the midst of your present distress, whatever it may be? Maybe even life-threatening. Has the Holy Spirit placed things along the way to make it bearable that you can take joy in? I had a difficult time up there, but at the same time, I got to see Boston. I got to see some schooners and hang out next to those. I went to my parents' place and saw stars like you wouldn't believe because there's no light pollution. And I even saw a red fox on one of my nightly stalking around the woods. And so God places these things. That is the work of God and his Spirit to sustain us. For there's an evil which I saw under the sun. It lies heavy upon men, says Ecclesiastes. A man to whom God has given wealth, possessions, and honor, so he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not give him the power to enjoy them. And this is a vanity, and it's a sore affliction. Have you known someone like that? He has everything, and yet he doesn't enjoy it. Some people have nothing, and yet they enjoy everything. That's the gift of God. Do you have it today? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a grace of God to you to cause you to endure the joy. That's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God, and he'll put it in you to make life bearable and that you come out on the other side joyous. For Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then finally, although it's not a short point, so don't get too excited, but God gave me a perspective on the timing of things. He says, as with respect to your past, Greg, he says, haven't I delivered you and Beth from everything so far? Why should this time be any different? Can you say the same thing of yourself and your present distress? God saved me every time up until now. Why should this time be any different? How did David endure Goliath? Remember that in 1 Samuel chapter 16? We read that, or 17. Saul says, you can't go and fight this man. He's been a warrior from his youth, and you're but a little youth. David says, I used to keep sheep with my father. A lion came, a bear came. I went and beat that lion and that bear. This Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. For the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear shall deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said, go and the Lord be with you. You know what I can say? God delivered me back here with Beth. God delivered me back here with Beth. God delivered my life. God delivered Naomi. God will deliver us again this time. Can you look back to your past? That's what God tells you in the whole word to do. He's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful this time too. So the Spirit said to me. He also said of my present, he said, this present is but a slight momentary thing, preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Yet a little while, says the Psalms, and the wicked will be no more, but the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Say, a little while. What are you suffering from today? I know you are. I know you got troubles. Can you say, it's but a little, just a little while, that it'll be? And after you've suffered a little while, says Peter, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yet a little while, a little while. And he says, he points me to the future saying, remember, the world is not suffering now or having trouble, but they'll have trouble forever. Christians suffer much trouble now, but he's preparing for us a trouble-free forever in the kingdom to come. The ransom of the Lord shall return, says Isaiah, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can you hold that fast today? That God's going to put joy and gladness upon you? How can I be sure I'll be joyful forever? Because God will put it upon me and put it upon you. What are you sorry about today? What are you unbearable today? What is distressing you? Look to that joy that is set before you as Jesus did. He endured the cross looking for the joy that was on the other side of it. And we also take comfort in this, that in some small way in our sufferings, we're sharing in Christ's sufferings. Beth went into surgery one day, afraid, but she said, this is but a small thing, Lord, to what you once suffered for me, for my salvation. Therefore, there a certain comfort and a peace and honor came over her, that in some way her pain was mingling herself with her Lord, knitting her heart together with her Christ, who has suffered and died and rose again for her. For the Lord will not cast off forever, remember. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, says Peter, so that you may also be glad and rejoice when his glory is revealed. What can I tell you about Jesus? He's borne your griefs. He's carried your sorrows. He has been wounded for our transgressions. He's been bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. And that is ultimately healing. I will heal you in this life, God says, in salvation in Jesus Christ, and in the life to come. And so we conclude with this word from Isaiah 46. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who've been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. In Jesus' name, amen.